Blessed be the Lord, my strength, who teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. This is Great Awakenings on GlobalFreedomTV.com. I'm Scott Bennett, your host, and we're so grateful for you to be joining us tonight. We're especially grateful for the great Stephen Pidgeon. Dr. Stephen Pidgeon is a scholar, a constitutional attorney, a author, and a speaker, and a traveler of the world who brings in so many different intelligence perspectives. It is always a treasure to have him on and enlighten all of us. Stephen, it is great to have you. I know we were talking a little bit before the show. There are so many things happening. There's the coordinated legal execution of Trump and all of these other people that they're bringing these salacious, silly, I'd say completely unconstitutional cases against Trump. But it's all meant for a psychological warfare. It's meant for emotional warfare. It's coordinated by an echelon of communist and left-wingers who have no respect for the American people, no respect for the rule of law, no respect for the Constitution. They are obsessed with going after Trump like sharks, you know, after blood. And we can't tolerate this in a republic. And if it requires violence to overthrow the violent, then the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution prescribes that on local levels and other levels. We are this close to tyranny. We're this close because they're violating all of our laws. And as an officer, I swore an oath to uphold the Constitution against domestic enemies and foreign enemies. But these people are domestic enemies under the Biden administration, under all of the fraud, the coup d'etat and elsewhere. And it's being resonant with Medvedev and others who are saying America is going towards a civil war. It's pretty significant when Medvedev is doing an interview in RT and he says America is going towards a civil war because the Democrats are tearing the country apart. So we're going to explore a little bit of that and also a video of Clapper talking about various intelligence corruptions and government corruptions and other things. So let's jump right into it. Stephen Pidgeon, I'll give it to you to open us up on what you're talking about with regards to the 13th Amendment and other things. Go ahead, Stephen.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Scott. It's great to be with you again. When you look at Joe Biden, who recently appeared at Ellendorf Air Force Base here in Alaska, and he was not cognizant enough to know that he was supposed to say a few words and even receive an award. So he came on stage, they presented him, President Joe Biden, he comes up, meh, and then he just wanders out and just wanders off. What was I doing here? No idea. And his dementia is so acute now at this point that he has no idea what he's doing, let's look at the forest for the trees. He's not running the United States of America. Okay. He's a dummy puppet that they put in front of the public. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, who is running America? And we need to know what the answer is, because you can't say that you can impeach Biden all day long. You're not going to cure the problem because he's not the one making the decisions. And, you know, and so to some degree, we have a rogue administration. That is to say, a bureaucrat over here, a bureaucrat over there, a general over here, a defense contractor over here. They get their way because there's no one to tell them no, because the guy who would tell them no is the president, and he doesn't know if he's coming or going. So they can move ahead with alacrity in their programs. So we see consistent funding going into Ukraine with the idea of, you know, getting a war started. And of course, now it's to the point when Anthony Blinken can fly into Kiev and say, well, we're going to give you another $175 million today. And we're looking at another platform for $1.5 billion more into Ukraine. And we're talking about putting in long-distance cruise missiles, which even Colonel McGregor is warned against. These kinds of ideas are pushing us into a full-scale nuclear confrontation with Russia. Problem number one. Problem number two, Biden is now the front man for this new pandemic. Oh, we've got a new release of COVID. Well, look, first of all, we know that COVID was this was a gain-of-function flu virus that was, you know, brought to bear by the likes of Anthony Fauci, who used American tax dollars to achieve gain-of-function, which Rand Paul has proven in Congress, and which the documentation that came out of Ukraine demonstrated with the 46 bioweapons labs that were put in place by Meta Biota, organized by the son of Joe Biden and others. You sent me a report earlier today, Scott, showing that there's hard proof that the Biden family took $31 million in direct contributions from the Chinese Communist Party. Hard evidence of this fact. Well, part of the reason why I want to bring up the 13th Amendment is because this goes to part and parcel of what the law of the land is. And I want to get to that. But I want to start with the idea that, first of all, there has been a communist overthrow of the United States.
Yes.
We just haven't perceived it. We can't, you know, you can smell it, but you just haven't tasted it yet. Yes. And the communist overthrow happened in November 2020.
Yes.
And it was organized by communist people. It was organized by the U.S. Postal Workers Union. It was organized by the leadership at the AFL-CIO. And it was organized by hardcore Marxists, atheists, that are occupying the seats of the Democratic National Committee and the Democratic Party. And they had no qualms whatsoever about engaging in election fraud and using offshore tools, primarily out of China, to engage in this fraud. Now, I'm sure China is probably ruining the day that they ever helped Joe Biden achieve the office, given the kind of disaster that Joe Biden has brought to China. But nonetheless, these were the things that happened. So it's not enough for us to point to a particular machine and say this voting machine or that voting machine. The more important information is to know that all of the routers that connected all those voting machines were made in China. They all had backdoors, and they were all capable of being used of using hammer and scorecard as software protocols to adjust vote totals in all of the various states. Once those vote totals were adjusted, then they had to stuff ballots to meet the vote total. So in case there was a hand audit, which, by the way, is now being criminalized, you're not going to be able to hand audit anymore. You're not going to be able to ask for a hand count of the ballots anymore. That's being criminalized. So that way they don't have to stuff ballots in the next one. They don't have to worry about the 2,000 mules going out at night and stuffing postal boxes with fake ballots. It's going to be against the law to count the ballots. So you can see that the intention right now is to reorchestrate what they did in 2020. Pandemic, lockdown, masks, social tyranny, social terrorism in the form of a pandemic. And then to then, you know, require, you know, facial compliance in the public square by demanding you wear a mask. And of course, then to use execute that game plan to once again, then rig an election with a complete, absolute total rig. We don't care if anybody votes at all. We already have the election pre-programmed. We already know what the numbers are going to be. The six media companies that are in control of the media in this country are going to force feed it. They're going to be lying to you about how Trump's ahead. Then, oh, Biden has just moved ahead in the polls because of something that happens to Trump. And he's leading by only 3 points. Oh, it was a very narrow election and Biden went 54 to 46 or something like this. I mean, this is the kind of nonsense that they propagate over and over again in rigged elections. The most important thing for Americans to recognize is that there is no election in America anymore. There was no election in 2020. It was completely unlawful. It was not capable of being certified because the certifying agents weren't certified themselves. So it was unlawful under HABA, period, all 50 states, just as it was unlawful in 2018. Now, in addition to that, so we can see that the social structure now in the United States, as David Icke said, there is no society anymore. There's a group of elites in their protocol. There's no society. There's no American society anymore. The American society is being terminated. There's certainly no American government remaining. We're under a communist tyranny. That's what's going on. And you can see the evidence, the hard evidence of the communist tyranny. First of all, we can see that the leader is not the leader at all. It's a puppet. You don't know who's leading the country. It's some Politburo somewhere that's leading the country. Number two, you can see this ruthless persecution predicated upon a made-up set of facts. You can't challenge the election. That's a terrorist activity. To challenge our rigging of the election is now considered terrorism, right? That's what they're saying. They put the leader of Proud Boys in prison for 22 years now. He was just recently sentenced to 22 years for daring to take a position in support of a political candidate. This is no different than what's going on in Ukraine. And what one of the things that the Russians have noticed and the Chinese have noticed and the Koreans have noticed and the South Africans have noticed is that America is embracing, openly embracing the Nazis in Ukraine. So yes. It used to be that as a matter of U.S. law, we could not directly fund Azov Battalion because Azov Battalion was overtly Nazi. They picked high-end Nazi insignia for their group. They all wear swastikas as tattoos on their bodies. They're overtly eugenicists. They're overtly racial supremacists. And they're intolerant to other people that they don't want in Ukraine.
They are vicious monsters who have engaged in torture, rape, and pillage in the most demonic activities that a human being could do. This is the greatest shame, the greatest crime against humanity that America could be charged for is aiding and abetting these Nazi monsters in Ukraine that have been amplified by drugs. The U.S., CIA, Mossad, all have been, and British have been amplifying them, animating them with drugs, and unleashing them since 2014 upon the Russian population of eastern Ukraine to torture and burn and kill innocent civilians because they did not go along with the coup d'etat of the removal of Yanukovych and the installation of this Nazi regime. Similar, as you said, what has just happened in America. That is why Putin went in. And of course, I think we all, everyone's in agreement. He waited too long. And in a sense, he has to prosecute and end this with a ruthlessness and absolutely crush and prosecute, execute, or imprison every single Nazi in Ukraine, from Shoeshine Boy to Zelensky himself and his financial backers, and put warrants on the heads of all American individuals, I don't care who they are, who aided and abetted and financed these Nazis in their crimes against humanity. This is the time for a bold counter sweep. Stephen?
Well, yeah. And so what you see with the Nazis there, the fact that the U.S. Congress now is considering an amendment to the funding protocol to allow funding to come into Azov Battalion is being looked at by the rest of the world as saying, well, the U.S., Britain, Australia, New Zealand embracing this idea of funding Azov tells you that the United States has been overthrown by a Nazi regime.
That's right.
Now, you see evidence of the Naziness of this regime that's currently in place as, say, a Bolshevik regime. This is not a Bolshevik regime. This is a Nazi regime. This is, you know, you're talking about eugenicists. Of course, they hate white people. The white people are who they're trying to kill now. Not Jews. They're trying to kill white people. They're trying to kill Europeans.
Yes.
You see this eugenicist protocol. You see this decadent sexuality that was consistent with Berlin in 1929,
yes,
with this LGBTQ protocol.
Yes.
And you see this ruthlessness that includes intolerance for other races, intolerance for other languages, the demonization, the use of drugs in the field. All of these kinds of things are conspicuously Nazi. And now you see the ruthless persecution, like you saw during the time of Dietrich Bonhoeffer,
yes,
during World War II. You see the ruthless persecution of political enemies. It has nothing to do with whether or not they've committed a crime. You are refusing to go along with our narrative. Therefore, you're a terrorist. You're refusing to go along with our cheating. Therefore, you've committed a crime. You're trying to still stand up for the Constitution. Therefore, you're a criminal. And this is the kind of language they're using. Now, this kind of language has set off an alarm in Asia, because Asia is no longer looking at this and saying, gee, the United States is irrational. They're not saying that at all. They're saying, no, the United States is no longer irrational. The United States is evil, and it's intentionally evil. It has crossed of the Rubicon into Nazism. Now, this is certain, absolutely certain to bring a war. Now, whether or not it'll bring a civil war is another question. I do think it's going to bring a civil war, Scott. I do think so. And I think it's not just going to be a civil war. It's going to be a civil war. It's going to be a revolution. It's going to be an anarchy. And it's going to be an invasion. And yes, I don't believe it's going to be an invasion from Chinese or Russian troops, like a lot of forecasters are saying. Oh, gee, the Russians are here with sleeper cells. And
no,
I've heard a lot of prophets talk about this. Far more likely is an invasion of drug cartels in the Southwest.
Yes.
Who are going to use the impending economic collapse. And by the way, we're on the verge of this economic collapse right now. I mean, we're flowing into, you know, we've got indicators right now, Scott, that are replicating what took place in 1928. Okay, with the crash of the housing market, the failures of the banks, so on and so forth. All of this is replicating what took place in 28. So we're seeing signals that look like there is a crash coming in October that's going to be similar to what took place in October of 29.
Yes.
Devastating, absolute 90% correction on the horizon. And the destruction of the dollar. You know, the BRICS have already announced a currency. It's a gold-backed currency. And Africa, the African nations are now saying, look, you want our diamonds? You pay us in gold. No more paper. There isn't going to be any more paper. You want our iron? You want our uranium? You want our magnesium? You want our this? You want our that? You pay us in gold. There's no more paying us in paper.
That's right.
We're not taking your worthless paper anymore. You have to pay us in gold now. And the United States, of course, has gotten rid of its gold. All of its gold was stolen at the 9/11 event. You know, all that. What do you think was in the basement of the World Trade Center that was suddenly gone at the time the World Trade Center blew up? We don't know what happened to that gold. There was a big event there that wrecked all that World Trade Center. That's where we had all the gold, but it's gone. We don't know what happened to it. I know what happened to it. Theft. And so what you see is that the currency is going to crash. The banks are already on the ropes. I mean, we're talking about a loss here, Scott, of thousands of banks that are going to disappear in the near future. There's going to be an intentional devaluation of the dollar, 30 to 50% in a single day. They're attempting to go to a digital currency and they're not going to get there. So once you see the financial markets start to implode, and they will, because there's one difference between the kind of economy that we're trying to practice here and the kind of economy that the Bolsheviks practiced for 70 years in Russia. The United States banks supported that Bolshevism for 70 years. There was American money flowing into Russia to support that communist venture.
Yes.
Coming out of New York banks, because they were supporting the Jewish leadership of Russia, which was engaged in Talmudic atheism. That's what it was. If communism in its essence is political Talmudism. That's what it is. Now, when you compare that to the Third Reich, went on to a Reichsmark, which they're going to try to pull here, but they're going to try to pull it with a digital currency. But you got to remember, these people are dumb, okay? It's not going to happen. Their digital currency is going to work less effectively than their worthless greenback. And they're the ones that made it worthless. It wasn't me who was running around threatening the whole world with sanctions. Joe Biden is the one that killed the dollar, single-handedly killed the dollar. So when the dollar goes to zero and the economy goes into a complete crash, what you're going to see happening is what you're seeing in California right now. Look, what's the condition in San Jose right now, Scott? I heard that all of downtown San Jose is closed, that Sacramento is considering a law right now to hit you with an $1,800 fine if you resist someone who's breaking in and stealing your stuff in your store. If you got a guy who puts a gun in your face and says, give me everything in the register, if you resist him, you get a criminal sanction. If a group of guys come in and start, you know, fleecing your tool aisle at Home Depot and you resist them, you go to jail. This is the law that's been pending in California. So what are they trying to do? They're trying to eliminate every retailer in California. And they're trying to make California unlivable, not for them, but for everyone else who lives in California. So when you see this happening, you're creating a vacuum. And in this vacuum comes an element of force. And some of that element of force is going to be the force that's been recently armed with weapons that were supposed to be shipped into Ukraine, but were sold on the black market to the drug cartels, that are advanced arms. All the advanced arms we gave to Ukraine are now in the hands of drug cartels in northern Mexico. And so you're going to see these cartels are going to come north, and they're going to take up Albuquerque. They're going to take up Phoenix. They're going to take up LA. Will they get to the Bay Area? I don't know. But that whole southwestern section is going to become controlled completely by the drug cartels. It'll be readily acknowledged by everybody who lives there that that's what the case is, okay? It's not gonna be controlled by the CHIPS, you know, California Highway Patrol. They're not even gonna be allowed to patrol in the area. It's not gonna be controlled by LAPD. It's gonna be controlled by drug cartels. Now, similarly, you're gonna see other things, other elements of force like this try to play. You'll see probably the mafias increase in the Northeast, you know, the Italian mafia, the Jewish mafia, these mafias, the Russian mafia, these mafias are going to increase strongholds in the cities as the cities fall apart. The cities are going to fall into a place where they're not going to be able to control any crime whatsoever. You're going to have a huge homeless population all over the place. I mean, the homeless population is going to triple this winter. It's going to triple. It's not going to increase a little bit. It's going to triple this winter. And when it does, who's going to police all these people? What's going to take place in the streets? What's going to go on? It's going to be open anarchy in almost every city in the country. Then you're going to see these communists try to impose we're going to rerun the pandemic again. You know, it's like that one guy said. You know, I won't tell the joke. Anyway, I'll just put it to you this way. There's a lot of people who are not going to tolerate somebody telling them to wear a mask.
No.
And and these people, these power hungry guys, you put your mask on. You know, I'm going to, somebody tells me you put your mask on with that kind of thing, I'm going to tell them, why don't you make me?
Yes, that's right.
Why don't you make me? Come that's over right. here and make me. What and the instant he touches me, I'm going to blow his head off.
That's right. Beautiful response.
It's going to be just that simple. Oh, yeah. I see you threatening me with deadly force. I have to defend myself.
Yes.
You're gone. Yes. Gone Johnson.
That's right. That's a good qualifier. Why don't you make me, and be advised, I will defend myself with deadly force. Be advised. Why don't you try, but be advised, I will use deadly force in self-defense.
Yeah.
You know, Stephen, let me just add this too. All of what you're saying, I agree with. And as a soldier, as an officer, I've said it for a long time. We're at that level. We can't retreat. We can't surrender. We have to stand and fight. That means you have to declare these opposing sides, these opposing institutions, agencies, personnel, whoever they are, whatever uniform they're wearing or not, as enemies, domestic enemies and foreign enemies, but enemies. And enemies are killed. Enemies are not bargained with, they're not pleaded with, they're killed when you are in combat. And we're approaching that time where they are, again, because of the delusion, the pathology, the spiritual demonism that has been animating the Democrats, the left, all of these vaccinated zombies, they are, again, right out of I Am Legend. Right out of just mad with ferocious hysteria. There's no restraint. There's no sense of reflection or reason. They are monsters and demoniacs. And I don't mean that insultingly. I mean it as a practical assessment of their physical, spiritual, moral constitution. And what you're saying is going to erupt. And then people have to react. And the interference, you know, the referee who gets in the middle of the football play and gets knocked on his ass, those referees are the police, are the judges, are the prosecutors, are anybody else that tries to come in. And like you said, if you resist people coming in, we're going to have to come in and arrest you. Oh, really? Try it. I can't see a way out of fighting back against that. And I think psychological people have to adjust themselves to shed any restraint, any sort of previously established or grown or instituted from childhood onward respect for judges, law, authority, or things like that, because they don't have it. They're a communist regime of domestic enemies. I know this is a very kind of difficult leap for a lot of people, me included, because we've always grown up with the law and order. And
well, Scott, let me help you make the leap. Okay, yep. We talked about this earlier today in one of my classes, and there's a couple of things I want to bring up: the 13th Amendment, the original 13th Amendment, and the Sherman Antitrust Act. But this is the truth of it. Look. You have the fundamentals of life are three things: self-reliance, self-respect, self-responsibility. That's what it means to be a human being. Now, when you talk about that aspect, you have no responsibility as a believer to be loyal to or obedient to a parent who is a non-believer. A parent who is a non-believer has no responsibility whatsoever to the care and maintenance of a grown child who's a non-believer.
Yeah.
And in a similar way, no one has a duty to obey the governing authorities when those authorities are not terrors to evil, but rather terrors to good. You know, I want to just go through this. Look, Romans 13:1 was preached in most of the churches in Germany. Romans 13:1 was preached in most of the churches in Germany by the Nazis. And the reason they preached it is because they used the Martin Luther version of Romans 13:1, obey the governing authorities. But the real truth of it, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, not the governing authorities, the higher powers, for there is no power but of Elohim, for the powers that be are ordained of Elohim. There's no other power besides Yah. That is, you have a duty to obey that. And whosoever then resists the power resists the ordinance of Elohim, and they that resist it shall receive to themselves damnation. Now, for rulers are not to be a terror to good works, but to be terror to the evil. Will you then not be afraid of that power? Do that which is good, and you shall have the praise of the same. For he is to be the minister of Elohim to you for good. Now, if your government is antithetical to Scripture, if your government is antithetical, if your government is anathema to the tenets of Scripture, you as a believer have absolutely no moral duty whatsoever to be loyal, faithful, or obedient to that government. None at all. If they're disobedient, your obedience to the disobedient is disobedience in itself, and it makes you a partaker of their sins. It's like, for instance, let's say you're driving with a friend. You're driving downtown. You come to a parking stop. You stop at the parking stop. You get out on the sidewalk. The two of you are walking down the street. You come up to a jewelry store. He picks up a rock, breaks out the window, reaches in and grabs a diamond bracelet, and he says to you, get that watch and get that ring. If you obey him, you're a commissioner of that crime.
Yes.
So I don't want to hear I was only obeying orders, like the Nazis said. I was just following orders. You were following orders to commit genocide. I don't want to hear about your measly excuse about you were following orders. You have a fundamental duty to follow Scripture. And if you're not following Scripture, if your government is not following Scripture, and more importantly, if your government has become so fallen that it is anathema to the word,
yes,
it's anathema to the word, where they're booing God at the Democratic Convention. They're advancing every kind of abomination and defilement there is, to the point that they're trying to tell you it's now illegal for you to object to our castrating your children in elementary school. They are an abomination. They are anathema to Scripture. You have no duty whatsoever to be faithful, loyal, or obedient to such a state.
Yes.
Okay, premise number one. Premise number two, the law of the United States had adopted a 13th Amendment to the Constitution. Now, two researchers, Dodge and Dunn, uncovered the 13th Amendment, and they found a ton of documents that printed this amendment as binding law. It was faded out by the powers that be. But the reason why is because Lincoln was a usurper to the presidency. Let me show you how. The missing 13th Amendment reads like this. If any citizen of the United States shall accept, claim, receive, or retain any title of nobility or honor, or shall without the consent of Congress accept and retain any present, pension, office, or emolument of any kind whatever from any emperor, king, or prince, or foreign power. Okay, now that is consistent with Article 1, Section 9. That language remains the same. But this amendment included a sanction. If you do these things, then such person shall cease to be a citizen of the United States and shall be incapable of holding any office of trust or profit under any of the states or the federal government, or either of them, okay?
Hence Joe Biden.
Yeah, this is the 13th Amendment. So Biden should have his citizenship stripped. The instant that you can show him receiving a gift from China, he should have his citizenship stripped.
Yes.
And be kicked out of office.
Yes.
Then you don't have to find high crimes and misdemeanors. But under the 13th Amendment, you're out. Anybody who receives citizenship from Israel after they're an American citizen needs to be stripped of office and kicked out. Anybody who receives a title or gift or any kind of a kickback, including training from the World Economic Forum, including stipends from the World Health Organization, including any kind of benefit from the Aspen Foundation or the United Nations, if you received a gift, a scholarship, a benefit, an emolument of any kind whatsoever, you lose your citizenship and you're out of office.
Yes.
Okay. That 13th Amendment is still binding law. notwithstanding the fact that the guys who incorporated the United States in 1867, in order to further the plans of Rome to introduce a fiat currency and an income tax in 1913, which Abraham Lincoln, by the way, tried to do during the Civil War when he declared martial law, and the court overturned it, said that's unconstitutional. That's not census and enumeration as provided by Article 1 of the U.S. Constitution. They had to wait until 1913 when they had a president who had a stroke, Woodrow Wilson, to pass the Federal Reserve Act and the Income Tax Act, including the 16th Amendment, which was never lawfully adopted, as compared to the 13th Amendment, which was lawfully adopted. Okay, so under these circumstances, that's binding law. And with this being the case right now, you could oust probably 98% of Congress. And most of the leaders of the bureaucracy, they've all been trained by the World Economic Forum or George Soros' Open Society or whatever it may be. They've all been trained by all of that. Okay. Now, let's get to the Sherman Antitrust Act. The Sherman Antitrust Act, you shall not engage in restraint of trade. Let's talk about who's engaged in restraint of trade. American Bar Association, American Medical Association, all of the monopolies, that is the NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL. They're all monopolies. But RFK Jr. has identified one corporation that is disguised as three, which is Vanguard, BlackRock, right?
State Street.
These three have been, are essentially a single corporation controlling 60% of the S&P. That's a monopolization, and it's being done to restrain trade in order that they might maximize profits. And they have the intent of seizing all of the real property of every American citizen between now and 2030.
Yes.
Okay. And this is being done by AI, by the way. Aladdin is the one governing all this mechanism, which is an inhuman thing. Okay, so what I'm saying to you is the Sherman Antitrust Act has some legs and should be used. And the Clayton Antitrust Act, which is a complement to it, allows for treble damages for every single person who has had their rights infringed by an unlawful and illegal monopoly that's engaged in restrained trade. Triple damages, okay? Okay, so these are two teeth that can be used to reformat and reestablish the United States. The original 13th Amendment and the Sherman Antitrust Act married with the Clayton Antitrust Act. Okay, now, with that being said, we're not done yet. Most states in this country are not occupied by organic constitutional institutions of law. The Constitution in California, the Constitution in Washington and other states provides for a governor, a lieutenant governor, a Supreme Court, and so on and so forth. In virtually every instance of every office you can think of, there is a corporation acting in place of the lawful governor, a corporation in place of the lieutenant governor, a corporation in place of the Supreme Court, a corporation in place of the county government. Go look up their Dun & Bradstreet numbers if you don't believe me. You'll find they're all incorporated. They're all corporations doing business as the lawful government of the United States. And have they disclosed that to you? When you go into a superior court in California, did they tell you we are an unlawful monopoly engaged in restraint of trade, occupying the as a corporation in place of the lawful Supreme Court of the superior courts of the state of California? They don't tell you that. There's nobody who's going to disclose that to you, walk through the door. They're engaged in criminal fraud. And they're engaged in restraint of trade. They're operating monopoly. Did you have a chance to put together a competing corporation to stand in place of the corporation that calls itself the Superior Court of California? No. Are they engaged in price fixing? You bet they are. Here's all the fines we're going to impose for this. Here's all the fines we're going to impose for that. Do the judges tell you in a family law case that they're getting $500 kickback for every restraining order they enter? Do they tell you that? That they're getting in their paycheck a stipend for every child support order that they enter? Has anybody ever told you that?
Nope.
No, they don't tell you any of that. Okay? And they're all engaged in antitrust violations. They're engaged in violations of the Sherman Antitrust Act, the Clayton Antitrust Act, and most of them have allegiances to foreign powers. They're not allegiant to you. And do you think they've accepted any kind of bribe or emolument or gift from BlackRock or Vanguard? You think?
Well, that's where it goes into, where is the proof? Where are the bank accounts? Where are the trails, the money trails? Where are the evidence that can be brought up in some sort of a legal challenge to say, no, I'm not honoring this court. I'm not honoring, respecting or accepting this court's jurisdiction or any of its decisions, because there's evidence of your corruption. There's evidence of your payoff. There's evidence, I mean, of a restraining order. You're getting $500 to apply a restraining order. Who's paying that? Where's it coming from? These are the things that Americans don't know, but upon learning, they're going to want to, you know, have the substance to throw back at them. I think we're at a point where Americans are waking up, but they're looking around for stones to put in their slings, to go on the attack, to challenge and overthrow these school boards and others, and going after the insurance bonds and others. What they've done to Trump has to be done to all of them. We have to get as sophisticated and furious and go on the full attack to stop all of this, to expose all of this. And really, I mean, how do you do anything other than challenge a revolutionary takeover by communists by a revolutionary counter, retake of the country to its original founding fathers' republic ideals? Only leads to a legal violence, a political violence, and perhaps a physical violence. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, well, you know, Jean Baudin, in his 6 books on the Commonwealth, he says no Commonwealth was ever formed except by violence and force. Mm-hmm. That's one of his fundamental tenets. No Commonwealth was ever formed except by violence and force. And I think you're going to see a revolution no matter what you do. Yes. We can sit here and say, don't anybody revolt. Everybody please forget the idea about revolting and don't have a revolution. That's not going to stop the revolution from happening. No. The revolution is most certainly coming, because a revolution only happens. And even Sarah Palin said this. She said, are you guys actively trying to get this revolution going? Because she knows, look, a revolution happens when your choice is death or death.
Yes.
When your choice is death or death, well, then you're going to shoot, or you're going to attack, or you're going to do whatever. And that's what happens in revolution. When you get to a point that it's death or death, well, and that becomes obvious to somebody that it's death or death, well, then they're going to attack, and there's not going to be any stopping of it. Now, I can tell you that you're going to see, and I've said this before, I said this, I think, 2 years ago. When this revolution breaks out, you're going to see people hanging from piano wire, from streetlights, in every major city in the country. That's what's going to happen. When the dollar, you know, it's like I was watching the Irishman and what took place in there with the killing of Jimmy Hoffa. And, you know, Robert Kennedy had convened 13 grand juries trying to get Jimmy Hoffa, couldn't get him. 13 grand juries. And when JFK was assassinated in Dallas, they asked Jimmy Hoffa what he thought now. And he said, well, Bobby Kennedy's now just a regular lawyer. Not an AG anymore. He's just a regular lawyer. When the dollar goes into demise, when this market crashes, all of these criminals that are occupying the FBI right now, all of these criminals that are in the DOJ, all of these criminals that are at Homeland Security, all of the, you know, this criminal cabal that's running the country, and these guys are just really some of the worst criminals that have ever been seen in history. I mean, they really are a dramatic set of criminals. These criminals will just be another guy on the street. They won't have the full force and weight of being able to tell the county sheriffs, go and get him, or get the SWAT team and call him out. It's just, you're unemployed now.
Yeah.
And now go get on your radio all you want. Maybe you can get one of your friends to come up and show up when he's got no paycheck, but we'll see what happens, and we'll see what kind of a friend they really are.
And see, Stephen, that's where all things kick in. That's where the rubber meets the road. Now, I, as you know, myself, my personality, my experience, my training, officer, a long line of leadership, I've always looked, and I know you're the same way, we are surrounded by faggoty beta male weaklings and halfwits, beta males in police uniforms that couldn't manage men with anything if they didn't have the badge and the gun and the uniform. beta males in political leadership, beta males and females in school principal positions, as the Canadian psychologist guy, Jordan Peterson said, the wicked, you know, because of the righteous sloth and laziness and we disconnected, because the righteous alpha male, you know, sigma male, whatever you want to call them, the real leader, strong men, have not gone in and control the political levers and the police levers and the court levers and everything. We've allowed these infiltrations of beta males and beta females and they're lesbian, Nazi, man-hating types. We are so infected with inferior human beings, weak, stupid, ugly human beings who are in these political positions and the mayor and all the rest of it. Cowards, weaklings, I see them all the time and I'm disgusted by them. But when this collapse, this event, these series of seasonal changes start cascading upon us, you're right. They fall apart. Oh, you don't have a badge. You don't have a pension. You don't have a gun. You don't have a right to exercise police powers or anything else. What happens is the strength, the rise of the real leaders, the real males, the real, like you see that all the time, with these women go to the school board meetings and some of these black, there is no race. There's black women, white women, Hispanic women, boring, backing at these school board people saying, you will not be teaching this to my kid or I will sue you. Remember this great black lady was saying that. So as the real leadership rises up when everything starts falling down, you know, that's where I think a lot of these people are going to be deer in the headlights, and they have a simple choice. You're not a natural leader. Get the fuck out of the way or else we'll move you out of the way. That's what real men of strength and capacity do. And that's why other men follow them. Because they have the strength, they have the boldness, they have the charisma, they have the anointing. The Lord anoints his people to stand up and to tear down the towers of Dagon and to slay the thousands of Philistines. The Lord anoints them. He doesn't anoint these beta male, godless, transgender scumbags. So as they start to wither and collapse, a lot of them will say, well, we've got a badge. We've got this. You see how vicious they can get. But that's going to be a major clash. And they either get in line, be in their secondary positions, come to a Jesus moment, or they need to be annihilated.
Well,
I mean, yeah, they're coming to a point. You can't tolerate yeast, leaven, in the body politic of your new Commonwealth community. I don't give a shit if it's within your country club. New Commonwealth. You're the grand poobah, you're the sheriff, you're the chief of the Indian tribe until somebody smarter and better looking and stronger comes up and says, I'll do it. But people need to take control of their communities and establish these Commonwealth community with Commonwealth polices. Stephen, I'll hand it to you on how to do that.
Go ahead. I mean, you know, the thing is, Scott, is that the revolution is coming. Now, a couple of things I want to say. First of all, you're going to see two kinds of men. There is going to be, you know, two kinds of fearless leaders. One kind of fearless leader doesn't care about death and is going to lead people, you know, for the righteous reclamation of the nation. Another leader doesn't care about death and is going to be leading people for his own self-exploitation and to amass wealth and to basically, you know, cull the herd. So this is part of the part of the problem in the Civil War. Is that you don't know who to believe and what structure to believe and what kind of egomaniac is coming at you. Yeah. But I can tell you that you're going to see, this is my opinion now, you're going to see revolutionary councils spring up. And these revolutionary councils are going to spring up all over the country, and they're going to be armed and militant. And it's going to be, you know, they're going to set up camp downtown areas, maybe, kicking the doors of a deserted skyscraper or whatever it's going to be, set up themselves among the homeless, and they're going to establish a camp. And when they establish this revolutionary council, there's going to be people in there that are going to be, you know, it's like the one woman said when they went into Versailles to get Marie Antoinette, They're leaving. All these women came in and they kicked open the doors of Versailles and they walked in. And this one woman screams out, "You get out here right now." And another woman screams up from the front, "Shut your mouth. This isn't about words. Yes. We're not talking here. We're coming and she's not going to get an argument. We're coming here. We're taking her downtown and beheading her. That's the end of this discussion." Yes. There's no discussion point here.
Yes.
And you're going to see these kinds of men and women in the Revolutionary Council who are not going to be interested in any kind of discussion whatsoever. Yeah. It's going to be very clear cut. This person was part of the communist overthrow of the nation. They'll be identified and that'll be that. Yeah. And then and what's going to take place? I'm telling you, Scott, there is going to be a bloodletting in the United States that is going to be unprecedented. It is going to be a more bloody, ruthless civil war, revolution, whatever you want to call it, than was seen in Mexico, than was seen in the Bolshevik Revolution, than was seen in the rise of the Nazis in the 1930s, than in the French Revolution in 1789, than the Glorious Revolution in 1689. Even the War of the Roses is going to be a cakewalk compared to the kind of bloodletting that's coming to the United States.
Well, now, Stephen,
let me just say this, Scott. What I want to say to the Democrats right now is this. If you want to keep your life, you need to go back to respecting the rule of law. You need to go back and you need to start taking steps to ensure that there's a fair election in 2024 instead of trying to cheat like you're doing right now. You think the American public can't tell that you're trying to cheat like you did before? Let me tell some of these brain dead union idiots at the U.S. Postal Workers Union that did all the cheat out of Detroit. You think you're so smart? You think we can't see what you're doing? We can see what you're doing. You think we can't see what the AFL-CIO is doing? You think we can't see you guys open up the same stupid playbook and think you're going to do it again? You think that a corrupt individual like that district attorney in Atlanta is going to be able to get away with this kind of RICO charge? You think you're smart enough to pull that off? You haven't seen the brains yet of the operation come against you. You haven't seen it because we're not dumb enough to advertise our views to you. We're certainly not dumb enough to advertise our strategy to you. You don't know what the strategy is, but I can tell you that the strategy is one that has a flame underneath it and the gas is ready to catch fire. When you see Donald Trump do an interview with Tucker Carlson that gets 150 million views in its inception, that gives you an idea of the kind of people that are planning on voting for Trump compared to the 28 million that actually voted for Biden in 2020 that you rigged out to claim it was 80 something million. And I bet you think we're all stupid, that the whole world can sit back and go, gee, he must have gotten all those votes. No, let me tell you, only you believe that fecal remnant. Only you believe that stuff. The rest of the world knows what happened. And if you don't stop your communist crap and you don't get back to the rule of law and you don't make room for another opinion besides yourself in the body politic, then the blood is going to be on you. It's not on me. It's on you. We have means in this country to get along with diverse opinions and to have two different points of view. You won't tolerate a second point of view. You impose your political correctness telling us to shut up because you can't tolerate the truth, because you don't want to hear the truth, because you know what the truth is? You're a sinner and you're damned. And that's the truth. And you can try to punish me. You can burn every Bible. You can burn every church. You can't burn the conviction in your own heart and the knowledge that you know that you are damned because of what you have done. Now go ahead and try to pretend that it doesn't exist. Go ahead and say you've got no conscience about it, that you're pragmatic, that you could just justify your deeds by the end results because the end justifies the means. Let me tell you what your end is. It's flames. That's what your end is. And you're going to experience it the second you close your eyes for the last time. And your consciousness will remember it. So don't come to me and tell me we started this. When you became intolerant to other views, when you shut down the marketplace for intellectual freedom, when you decided to control everybody's speech so that you could jam into office some decrepit, demented Alzheimer candidate on Depends so that you can run the country from behind this thing. You think the world didn't know? The whole world knows. And now you're at a point where even if you were to crush 100% of the dissent in this country, your diseased mind is certain to bring a nuclear holocaust upon your head. It's certain to happen. Certain. You kill off every dissenting opinion in this country, you're going to die in a mushroom cloud, period.
Yes. You know, I'm reminded, Stephen, of the film Braveheart, Mel Gibson's classic, about the Scottish uprising of William Wallace. And I wanted to pay particular attention to one scene because it resonates so much with what you're saying. And that scene is when William Wallace marries his wife in secret so she wouldn't be raped by an English lord. She is, they're married at night in secret with a priest. And the next day she's wandering through the village, you know, and an English policeman, if you will, a soldier, three of them, an old, you know, lustful English, goes and tries to grab the girl and rape her, right? And it's very similar to what you've said in you cannot resist when someone comes to break into your house or break into your store and take your stuff or else we're going to find you. You can't resist this rape and pillage that these vile human beings are trying to do to you. So they try and rape the woman, and William Wallace comes riding into her rescue, beats the hell out of the guys and gets the girl out of there, and he takes off in the other direction. Unfortunately, she's knocked off her horse and she's brought before the magistrate, who then essentially says, well, you know, it doesn't say anything, but he says, you resisted, you know, and blames her and cuts her throat and kills her. Very similar to what you're saying. And you resisted. You're not allowed to resist. You're not allowed to strike out against. And he says, you know, this day's lawlessness, and he cuts her throat. Well, that sets in motion the revolution that I think you're describing, we're all feeling. And William Wallace slowly goes into the English area on his horse, and all of the English soldiers start to engulf around him. And it's one man, William Wallace, and he goes into the middle of them all. And in a burst of lightning, an anointed, righteous Samson strength, he goes on this wild fighting, and he kills and knocks down a few of them and takes them out. And then all of a sudden, you know, all the English armor, you know, soldiers start to gather, but all the Scottish Highlanders, all the people, all the men and women and boys that were in their little homes see this and are inspired. And they come out and they go to his aid, and they all become one revolutionary counterstrike, and they start countering and fighting back and killing the English. And the English are all routed back up to their little huddle, and the Scottish surround it, and they grab the Lord. And it's very similar to what you said too before with regards to the Marie Antoinette. They come in and they don't say, we're not here for talking. William Wallace goes into the English lord's house after they kill all the English and the remainder put their swords in the ground and give up. Well, William Wallace doesn't have words. He just goes up and grabs the magistrate, throws him down the hill, doesn't say a word, grabs him by the scruff of the neck, puts him against the same post that his wife was killed at, and cuts his throat. That is what needs to happen and will happen when all of these left-wing Democrat, homosexual, gay, rainbow flag, fascist, Nazis, whatever you want to call them, mask wearing, get your mask on, get your vaccine, when all of them start to try and get uppity, to try and get abusive, to try and get controlling, to try and exercise illegitimate, illegal, unlawful, unconstitutional authority, that rising will happen, and there won't be any discussion. There will be simple... the real warriors, the real alpha males, the real strong conservative, independent Christian men and women, and Hindus and others, if they get their balls out of their mouth, they will be rising up, and they will just go on and kill, and not have any words about it. These agents of evil and corruption. That film, I think, really captures something in the human heart, and that's what this is all about. It's instinct. It's anointed instinct, and it's a spiritual choice. God is bringing all of this to fruition for his glory, his purposes, to call out and say, be ye separate, come out from among them and be ye separate, and don't let them drag you back into Sodom and Gomorrah. And when they try to, you cut off their arms, you kill them. That now, inevitability, I think, is coming. Stephen, I'll hand it back to you.
Now, let me say this. It's very important for people to know. The law of the land is the Universal Declaration on Bioethics. That is the law of the land. It was adopted as the law of the land in a case against Pfizer in 2012, when Pfizer became the most fined pharmaceutical company in the world because they're criminals. And the law is this. Any preventative medical treatment that anyone tries to propose you to take, you have the right to not consent. Your consent must be predicated upon informed consent. And if you don't consent, you cannot be prejudiced. That is the law of the land. That's the binding law of the United States. When somebody says to you, where's your mask? Social distance yourself from them by hitting them in the head with a baseball bat. Say, see, I had to social distance myself from you. You don't have the right to tell anybody to wear a mask. And when they say you need to put a mask on, you just look at them and say, you know, you're committing a crime against humanity by even asking me to wear a mask.
Yes.
You're committing a crime against humanity just by even asking me to wear a mask. Do I look like I'm some brain dead communist like you? No, I'm not a brain dead communist like you who wears some stupid face diaper in order to suck my gut bile back into my lungs while failing to prevent any transmission of the virus. Haven't you read any report? It's been proven. The face mask is as capable of stopping a virus as a chain link fence is in keeping out a mosquito. Don't talk to me about your stupid face mask. And don't talk to me about quarantining. Quarantine, contact tracing, vaccination, face mask, social distancing are all preventative medical treatment that requires your informed consent. And by law, you cannot be prejudiced in any respect for failing to consent to that treatment. And some medical tyrant comes up to you and says, I'm the medical tyrant. Trust the science. Here, I've got a science for you to trust. What's that? Gravity. I'm about to drop a rock on your head.
Yeah.
Here's some science you can trust. You ever heard of the science of inertia? That's what happens when a semi runs over you. Here, I got some science for you. Let's talk about science. I'm about to blind you with science, like Thomas Dolby. You know, he was blinded by science, but that girl, whoever she was. You know, but the point is, Scott, is that other than humor, I'm just trying to say to you that you want to articulate to these people that, sorry, you have to get my consent. You have to get my consent to wear a mask. And I'm not giving it to you.
That's right.
And you want to prejudice me and commit a crime against humanity? What's your name? What's your address?
That's right.
Because you and I are going to court.
Yeah.
What's your name? What's your address?
Yeah. You know, on the last few minutes, Stephen, I wanted to broach an idea to you. I did an interview, and it came to me the other night. Ukraine, as Russia is concluding the war, it's going to be conquering and crushing and annihilating all of these Ukrainian Nazis that are left. But I had the idea. Russia, I think it would be the best idea. The best thing Russia could do would be to take all of Ukraine right up to the Polish borders and stuff, but declare that the new Ukraine is the new center of the BRICS UN. It is the new land where conservatives from England, from Britain, from Germany, from France, who believe in God, natural law, and family values can move to and have a sanctuary. Ukraine is the new land owned and controlled by Russia, similar to what they have up in St. Petersburg with a colony of conservatives that have moved up there. Make Ukraine so they can't say Russia's conquered it and taken over land. No, Russia's not taking over it, but it's protecting it as an independent buffer zone and a new state that will be the headquarters of the BRICS United Nations and the BRICS this or whatever and creating...
But also, this is a brilliant idea, Scott. It's a brilliant idea. And you're right. They need to conquer all the way to the Polish border. And in their conquering all the way to the Polish border, they need to destroy 100% of the NATO weaponry that's been placed in Ukraine, eliminate every last single Nazi, and any Nazi that's still living needs to be arrested and tried, And if they escape out of Ukraine and run to their $40 million house somewhere, like a lot of them are doing, then you need to be able to put arrest warrants out for them and go. Now, they also need to establish an international criminal court under the BRICS protocol.
Yes.
An international criminal court that then adjudicates the crimes of these scumbags that have been engaged in color revolutions. George Soros should be immediately indicted.
Yes.
And there, you know, you have to put these people, indict these people and try them for crimes against humanity. Russia seems to be the vanguard of international law right now. They respect it. They understand it. They're the vanguard of international law. And they should establish Kyiv as a multicultural center. And yes, it should be established as a neutral international hub. Now, I personally had this vision for Alaska to be a neutral international hub. And you're taking my idea and putting it over in Ukraine. Okay, listen. Listen, I love the idea, Scott, and I think the idea is appropriate and it's accurate. And I think that with this idea, what you do is, I mean, and this is why, of course, Russians are going to impose an orthodoxy. Now, they're not necessarily saying, okay, look, they're not saying, like, for instance, in Russia, they're tolerant to Islam and they're tolerant to Judaism and they're intolerant to other religions, tolerant to those religions. But there's no proselytizing.
No.
They're not tolerant to Jehovah's Witnesses. They're not tolerant to Mormons. No. They're not tolerant to evangelicals. They expect a Christian religion that's going to be Orthodox, a Muslim religion that's Islamic, you know, and a, you know, a Judaism that's, you know, Talmudic, Orthodox, right?
That aren't going to be oppressive against people, that aren't going to be trying coercing and restraining and abusive.
And that aren't going to be out, you know, advertising feminism and 18 different sexual orientations in the public square. Okay.
Right.
So under those circumstances, the rebuilding then that takes place in Ukraine at that point becomes really quite substantial. It's a rebuilding of a international nation, a neutral internationalization that is, and this is the key thing. Look, this is just the fact of the matter. The truth is that all of the world is run by intellectualism. It's not run by emotions. And it's not run by brute force. It's run by intellectualism. This is why when the Spanish came to the New World and they secured all the gold of the New World, it all ended up in the hands of France within 200 years because the French had all the intellectuals. And the Spanish didn't. The Spanish were busy worshiping at the Catholic Church and being uneducated and illiterate. And so the French took all of their money. Now, it's the same thing here. Any nation that doesn't, and Russia is smart in this, what they've already done, right? I mean, for instance, there's auto manufacturing going on in Kaliningrad right now, right? When all these companies abandon Russia due to sanctions, well, guess what? There's a new oligarch that owns all the McDonald's in Russia. And they call it Vkusni or whatever they call it. But it's, you know, Tasty, right? It's the new Vkusni chain that is just like McDonald's, only it's owned by a Russian. And they serve real meat instead of that plastic stuff that was coming in, right? And now we see China just developed the most advanced chip in the world. So Taiwan is moot. Taiwan's a moot issue. We need to protect Taiwan because they're the chip manufacturer. Well, China just produced a chip that's four times more advanced than anything Taiwan has ever created. It's in the new Huawei phone. Chinese manufacturing is replete going into Russia. And so if Russia capitalized and said, what we want to do is we want to cause an intellectual brain drain. The next step is to cause an intellectual brain drain out of Europe, out of the United States, out of Canada, out of Japan. You know, out of the intellectual centers, we want to cause an intellectual brain drain. And we're going to do that by opening the doors to a newfound freedom in Ukraine. And it's a freedom in a neutral country. And it's a neutral country that has its markets protected. It has its society protected. You can have no market unless you have controls on the market. And what I mean by that is, if I come in and start dumping gray goods in your market, or if I let pirates come in and steal your stuff, or if I let copyright violators and patent violators and trademark violators come in and move on your turf, you're not going to have a market. You have to be able to protect the walls of the market with regulation, with a regular market, to make the market regular. Similarly, you have to do the same thing with the social order. You have to keep abortion out. You have to keep homosexuality out. You have to keep the sexual orientation stuff out. You have to keep a godly society going. And this, and Russia's made the argument, and I think it's a good argument, and I respect the argument, which is what? The theocracy is more important than the democracy.
Yes.
Let me tell you why. Thou shalt not kill. And the Democrat says, let's vote on that. Thou shalt not steal. And the Democrat says, let's vote on that. No, these are tenets that are not votable.
Right.
They're the absolute authority of Yah. They're not subject to your majority vote. So in creating, so this is an absolutely brilliant idea. So, you know, these Nazis that are, you know, that have destroyed Ukraine, and let's face it, these guys have ordered 500,000 men to their death.
Yes.
You know, Scott, this is the worst military campaign ever executed by anybody ever.
Ever.
I can't think of any campaign in the history of mankind that was more poorly orchestrated. The second largest army in NATO, and they're all slaughtered willy-nilly?
66,000 men were killed in the last 3 months. Vietnam had 58,000 men killed in 10 years. So in 3 months, the United States, has facilitated the death of 66,000 men in 3 months in Ukraine. And men and guys who weren't trained, didn't want to fight, were grabbed off the streets. All of those men could have been left alive had a peace settlement been reached with Russia, as Russia wanted in the spring of 2022. 66,000 in 3 months and more, as you're saying, as McGregor said.
I mean, they're building a graveyard right now outside of Kyiv that will house 400,000 bodies. Okay. That's in addition to the bodies that are already buried in all these overstuffed graveyards all over Ukraine. Now, Scott, you and I both know as brother to brother that this is a great human tragedy. It wasn't us calling for the deaths of Ukrainians at all, or the deaths of Russians for that matter. We called for peace initially, and we still stand by the idea of peace. You know, I was, before I got out of the law practice, I was doing Ukrainian immigration. I was helping one Ukrainian client after another get into the United States so that they might have a life other than fighting and dying in eastern Ukraine for the Azov regiment.
Yeah.
So, you know, so the truth is that all of that has to be eliminated. And then a true structure has to come to Odessa. A true structure has to come to Kyiv. A true structure has to come to Kharkiv and Mariupol. You've already seen what they're doing in Mariupol. Mariupol is already being rebuilt into modernity, right? And the same thing is going to happen. I don't know if Bakhmut will ever be rebuilt or Chernobyl will ever be rebuilt. These are probably places that are going to be monuments to the war that happened, you know? But when you're talking about Odessa, Odessa is going to be completely restructured. The ports have to be completely rebuilt. Everything has got to be rebuilt. Kyiv has to be rebuilt. But the way to do this is, and Russia can absolutely put the West into a permanent and perpetual decline by robbing the West of its intellectuals. And I'm using the term robbing, speciously, because it's really not robbing the intellectuals. It's attracting the intellectuals, inviting the intellectuals to leave the decadent, communist, filth, scum pile that's being erected by this cabal of criminals, and to go into another area where intellectualism is rewarded and where the culture is strong, built upon a moral foundation. It's an absolutely brilliant idea.
We will have to build upon that, Stephen. I can't think of anyone better than you to help design and execute such a strategy and idea. And I think it is the future and the way of the future. And I think it's something that the world would embrace, the free world, the world that wants sovereignty and respect and natural law and marriage between a man and a woman and the sanctity of the family. This is the true side of human flourishing and civilization. And that is where we need to focus the good, wherever it is. And I think Russia is rising up to be that beacon. And it has nothing to do with politics. It's everything to do with God's hand, God's anointing. And unless this country has a miraculous Nineveh moment, which I seriously doubt, it is going to crumble to a wasteland of savagery, stupidity, and violence unlike anything else. But perhaps that's exactly the reckoning that it needs to have for all of the savagery and violence that we've done to other countries for 20 years, if not longer. Stephen Pidgeon, last words?
Well, you know, Scott, I'll tell you, there is a future. There is a future. And the future has, if you look at the past, when Nazism has risen before, the world rose up in revulsion to its tenets, and its immorality was crushed by necessity. And even if we had lost the war in World War II, it still would have been crushed because of its revolting immorality. Now, it's the same thing now. When a nation falls into immorality, it loses its legitimate right to govern. It has no legitimate claim of governance whatsoever. The current government is representing the idea that it has completely lost the consent of the governed. That's why they have to cheat in the next election, because they know that they no longer have the consent of the governed. Yes. The same is true in the United Kingdom. The same is true in France. The same is true in Germany. These places are in very, very big, big problems. Same is true in Australia and New Zealand, by the way. There's huge problems in these cultures. And these cultures now are cascading into economic ruin, social ruin, cultural ruin, and political ruin. As their markets collapse and their dollar collapses, their political reality will collapse. They're not going to be able to maintain the nation state. It's not going to happen. And so as a result, the only question is what's going to happen in the West is how violent and how bloody will the convulsion be? In the meantime, the Russian people who have embraced the tenets of Scripture are moving ahead with blessing. Blessed are you in the coming in the city. Blessed are you in the field. Blessed are you coming in. Blessed are you going out, right? We're not going to be experiencing the cannibalism that's coming into the West because of the curses that are upon the West. And the West is cursed. Mm-hmm. And so this is just the truth of it. So what's going to take place is the remnant of Yah is going to be protected and covered. And they're going to grow like a well-watered crop in the middle of this death and destruction. The only question is where it's going to happen. That's the only question. And I can tell you with the rise, you know, the whole issue with BRICS, it's not the issue of BRICS. It's ironic that it's BRIC because you're talking about a gold brick, right? You're talking about real currency. Suddenly you're talking about real currency. Well, real currency makes for a real nation, which makes for a real economy, which makes for real people. Fake currency makes for a fake economy and a fake market and a fake people. Fraud. It's people predicated on fraud, based on fraud, living a fraud, right? Which is what we are in the U.S., to the tunes of $32 trillion. Mm-hmm. So now I think what we can see, Scott, is that Yah is making a way. He is judging the cursed, and he is blessing the blessed. And that's what's happening. So this is for every individual to choose which house you will serve. As for me and my house, we will not comply.
Amen. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Thank you, Stephen Pidgeon. Great to have you on. Always an honor. Thank you for joining us on GlobalFreedomTV.com. God bless you. Good night.